Parshas Kisiso, the parsha begins with a very, very fascinating mitzvah. We discussed it already a little bit in the past. The mitzvah Machzta Shekel. Now, as you know, in Yiddishkeit, everything's about shleimus. Everything's about perfection. If a person finishes an entire mesechta besides one daf of Bava Basra, he doesn't make a siyum. If a person finishes a short mesechta, which is 13, 14 daf, he makes a siyum. It's about shleimus. It's about completion. It's about being whole. This particular mitzvah is a mitzvah that is specifically and intentionally not to be whole. In other words, it's a mitzvah that is a chiyuv that the Torah says that you have to give half. What is the idea of such a thing? What is the idea of a Torah saying, no, I want you to give half and not to be complete, not to give an entire mitzvah? What kind of thing is this? Number one. Number two, we've been discussing in the past as well, in the previous years, we expressed our concern about how can it be possible to have a mitzvah that there is seemingly no area for growth. Ha'osher lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamit. An osher may not give any more, and a oni may not give any less. So we can well understand for an oni to come across with a half a shekel, I'm not sure how much currency that was. It probably was a substantial amount of money. He probably had to skip some meals. He probably had to go along and beg extra, or take his guitar and busk a little bit longer in Madison Square Gardens or somewhere. But for the regular person, it wasn't such a big deal. For an Oshir, certainly he could have given more. What was the idea over here of the Oshir and the Oni not being able to give any more or any less than one another? So the Yeruchim, we talked about this in the past, the Yeruchim says an unbelievable vort, very touched very briefly on this. He discussed that an Oshir has a different life. You know, you see it the best by the way people travel. You get people traveling in business class, you get people traveling in first class, you get people traveling in economy class, you get people traveling in cattle class. And you see that the way people travel, you know, it's just a glimpse of the high life that different people actually enjoy when everyone else is living, eating the regular little meals with someone's head in your face and the knees in your back. You know, these guys are living it, lying down on these beds, you know, with somebody fanning them and giving them champagne, you know, making sure they have the right music, you know, and they get pulled up, the limousine takes them up all the way up the stairs, and Chas v'Shalom, you know, carries them up. I don't know what they do. And you got this poor Oni is sitting there, you know, really schwitzing away, and getting his frozen meal, and you know, so there's a certain element there where an Oshin enjoy the lifestyle that a regular person doesn't usually have. And he overpowers people. And Osher overpowers people. The Torah says at one stage in time, you should just know, Osher, Oni, says the Kosh Baruch Hu, you're all the same. You're all the same. Ho Osher lo yarbe, vadal lo yamit. You know what? I don't want anything more from you than I want from this Oni. What? You talk? I, Osher, the big wealthy billionaire, can't give anything more than Yankel the Shnorah? Hashem says no. You know, there's no first class when it comes to Machzta Shekel. There's no King David class. There's no Premier Miles here. You have to give the same amount as anyone else. You know why? Because Hashem loves you, and He loves the Oni just as much as one another. You all have exactly the same amount of mitzvah. Therefore, don't try and overpower anyone else with your mitzvah. That's what Yeruchim talks about this in the beautiful understanding. But I discussed at the Sheva Brachos, the Ksav Sefer says something very, very beautiful. The Ksav Sefer says that the Medrash brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand what we can't understand here. How can it possibly be that Kosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah to an Osher and an Oni to have exactly the same mitzvah? How can it possibly be that every person is given a finite, limited amount of growth possibility? How can it be that a person can only give a half a shekel? Where is the opportunity to grow? Where's the opportunity to express yourself in a way that's going to be meaningful? If everyone is given a finite amount, no more, no less than half a shekel, where is their growth? Where is their gadlus? Where is their showing that a person is wanting to move the extra mile, give his extra kichus? Where do we see that? Every mitzvah is unique. Ask Ksav Sofer and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu could not see, understand, explains the Medrash, what is a half a shekel? Until the Kosh Baruch Hu showed him a matzbeah shel eish. Kosh Baruch Hu showed him a coin of fire from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. What's the shot over there? So that we explained, the matzbeah shel eish means that in this world, in this finite world, in this material world, it's all about how much is something worth. If I come along with a half a shekel, it's worth the same amount as your half a shekel if you both put it down on the table. It's the same currency. In fact, 5, 10 agorot is the same amount as my 1 half a shekel. It's exactly the same. In Shemaim, though, there's a currency called matzbeah shel eish. In Shemaim, worth, financial worth of an item, of an element, is not what's worth in Shemaim. In Shemaim, it is matzbeah shel eish. The currency is a fire currency. It is a currency of how much dedication and how much love and avas Hashem and avas HaMitzvahs you put into every mitzvah you do, and that is what gives this particular mitzvah the energy. That is what propels the mitzvah up higher and higher. In other words, the half a shekel is in financial worth exactly the same as Oshir V'Oni. Exactly the same. But when it comes to the dedication and the love of doing the mitzvah of Machzor HaShekel, that is completely different from one person to the other. If you think giving a Machzor HaShekel, fantastic, I'm giving this to the Adonim, and that's making a foundation for the Mishkan, I could broke if I have, that mitzvah takes its worth billions and billions of matzbeah shel eish currency. But a person who just gives it mitzvahs and noshim with a mother, you know, that's what he's been doing, and his father's been doing, his grandfather's been doing, and then that's what you do, and autopilot, then it has absolutely no meaning at all, and therefore actually all it's worth is a half a shekel. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. How can it be something can only be worth a finite amount? The answer is, it's not finite. The amount of koichas you put into it, the eish you put into it, the fire you put into it, that's what gives it its currency. That's what gives it its worth. And that is why, ultimately, the question is not a question. How can it be that all giving the same amount? The answer is, no person's giving the same amount. Every single person is unique by the amount of where he comes from and what his aspirations are to do this mitzvah, and his love and his dedication, his kavana and his hachonas and everything else put into this mitzvah creates a new reality called matzbeah shel eish within this mitzvah, and therefore ultimately nobody's the same. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us a mitzvah that looks the same and still shows us the opportunity to grow, that really in every single mitzvah it really depends upon what you put into it and what you what you take out. That is the first idea of matzbeah shel eish, the understanding of why Osho Le'Yabri V'Dala Yamit. Now, this particular Machzor Shekel went to the Adonim. Now, what are the Adonim? Adonim were basically, exactly, they were the support system of the Mishkan. The Mishkan had these huge kiroshim, yeah, these huge pillars that were held up, these gold-plated pillars that were held up with two silver little pieces. Yeah, they held up with two little silver pieces. They were called Adonim. And this Machzor Shekel, in this particular case, was melted down and made into the Adonim. Adonim were made from this Machzor Shekel. What is the idea that Dafka, the Shkolim were melted down and made into Machzor Shekel? You know, in the old days, the good old tax scandal was taking the rand, the silver Kruger rand, and melting it down into silver and getting out of tax that way. It was a major scandal in the 80s, okay? But it basically took Kruger rand, which was, the currency was minimized, the rand was worth a lot less than its silver value, they'll take it, they'll buy that currency, and melt it down into silver, and they're buying the currency and not paying a tax on it, okay? It was a major, major scandal in the 80s, okay? Unfortunately, a lot of people got into trouble with that. But that was in the old times when you're trying to make a scandal, when you're trying to make, you know, you're short of a bit of silver. Here we're talking about Klal Yisrael, were multi-millionaires, every one of them. They left Mitzrayim with donkeys laden with gold and silver. What were they short of? Nothing. They were short of nothing. Why take the Machzor HaShekel of all these people and make the Adonim out of that? Ask everyone, Rabbi Yisrael, you need a bit of silver. Everyone come to the silver, make the Adonim out of that. What's the idea of making that Adonim Dafka out of Machzor HaShekel? Number one. Secondly, you know, Klal Yisrael was so wealthy, and Klal Yisrael had so much gold and silver from Mitzrayim, why make that Adonim out of silver in the first place? Why did it make it out of gold? Gold is much more beautiful. Gold is much more. It retains its beauty much longer. Why make the Adonim out of silver in the first place? Why did they make it out of gold? So the Be'er Yosef says a very, very nice mossel to explain this. He says that this, you know, I was once in one of Moshavim around here around Beit Shemesh, and it was some time of the year, I think it was in the summertime, and there was loads of bees buzzing around my head. So I was getting a little nervous. So yeah, I was jumping around a little bit. So the farmer says to me, "Ma, ata lo lamadta? You never learnt that bees only sting a few months of the year, apparently. Did you know that? Is that true? It's not true? Okay, he told me. So I said, where should I have learnt that? So he said, why, lo lamadta chaklaut? You never learnt agriculture? I mean, I'm supposed to learn agriculture. You know, I've never seen a flower before living in London, and I'm supposed to learn agriculture. So, but certain people, unfortunately, have not learned agriculture. And he gives us a model of somebody, a city boy, who a 7-8-year-old boy, who he knows when he goes to the local supermarket and he buys his wholemeal loaf, he buys his granary bread, whatever it is, he buys his bread in a packet, and you think it grows on a packet, right? It grows inside a packet with a little twisty on and a date. Governor Sabira, Coach Sprocket does it like that, and that's how the bread comes. Okay, one day he goes out to the fields, and he feels a little bit out of his depth there, and he sees a beautiful flat field, absolutely perfect. And what happens? You get a farmer, and he takes his tractor, and he rips up the field. He takes it, and he makes huge grooves in the field. Now the whole field is a mess. It's up and it's down, it's holes and it's mounds, and it's absolutely terrible. All right, you know, and I always thought these crazy people live in the countryside. Baruch Hashem, they live there, not in the city. All right, then the guy takes seeds. He takes seeds, valuable seeds which he can eat, and he starts chuckling in the ground. Chuckling all over, on the floor, here, there, all over on the floor. What an idiot! He got these seeds, what a waste, he can roast them, he can eat them. No, he takes them and chucks them in the ground. Fine. He goes, listen, I'm not going to ask any questions. Fine. A few weeks later, something green starts growing from the ground. Miraculously, something green starts growing from the ground. Beautiful stuff. Mama, fresh, beautiful flowers start growing. Unbelievable. Lucky. After such a terribly messed up field with a bunch of seeds all over, suddenly some green starts growing. Look how kind of them to idiots. Okay? And green starts growing, and the green starts growing, and it grows more and more until it's beautiful, lush, heavy, thick vegetation. He comes along, where it's really things are looking really good, and he cuts it all down, takes it and he slices them down, rips the whole field apart. Now just all you're doing is a bunch of straw. He takes these kernels, he crushes them, beautiful kernels, he crushes them, and then he takes them and grinds them down to little white flour, you know, beautiful white flour. Then he takes water, makes it into a gungy thing. This guy is completely crazy. And then after a few hours, you know, this guy is never, he can't anymore. He starts smelling, beautiful smell of freshly made bread. So where's this from? He said, oh, you didn't realize, didn't see. There's a whole process to this agriculture. You don't just buy bread in a packet. So the Be'er Yosef, we are this city kid. We come along to this world for a finite amount of years, and we don't know what's going on. We really don't know what's going on. You know, sometimes you come to a shul, you've got a gabbron shul, and it doesn't seem to be right what's going on in shul. You have a big Tamil Chacham sitting in the front there, and don't get an aliyah. And other people get an aliyah. And you go along to the gabbron and say, listen, you know, I don't mean to interfere, but there's far more chosher people in shul than these people. What is being an aliyah? Now you've come. Aha. Let me tell you. The reason why I gave this person aliyah was because they got your outside. The other person, the Rav didn't get aliyah because last week he got an aliyah. You know, you're trying to make seder for the 1 week you're here. You just come. If you sit around here for a few months, you'll see there's a very good law and order going on, what's going on over here. We've come to this world for a finite period of time, and we know exactly why Hashem should be doing this, and this person should be suffering, and this person should be gaining, and how can Hashem do this to Tzaddikim, how can Hashem do that to Rishonim? Take it easy. You know nothing. Says about Yosef, beautiful. He says, therefore, Adonim were the foundations of the Mishkan. They represented the foundations that held up the Mishkan. In other words, the foundations of Hashem's world, as it were, that represents how our world should look, is made by half things. In other words, the foundation of the way we should see the world is, by the way, you've only seen it half. You cannot make any judgment. You have no idea what's going on. The foundations of the Mishkan are the foundations made from Adonim, who are made from half items. In other words, the foundation of the world is, you should just know that you know nothing. You don't understand anything. Don't think you can come to this world and sort the world out, because you really do not understand the thing. That is the foundations of the Adonim. Adonim were made from half elements, because the foundation's got to be understanding that we know nothing. The Pasuk says, later on in the parasha, V'ra'isa es achoyrai upone lo yiro, is a beautiful piece over here. In the Torah Moshe, he says, V'ra'isa es achoyrai, you see it from behind me, upone lo yiro, you'll not see my face. Tzedek Sam Sofer, a beautiful piece, he says, we can learn this up here, Remes, because many, many times we've seen in the world different things happening, and we have no idea why they're happening, and we can't explain it, and it actually doesn't even seem fair. You know, take the Megillas Esther. Here we have Achashverosh, we have killing his wife, what's he doing? And then Esther, Nebuch, his poor Esther gets schlepped into the palace, this poor girl. What's Hashem doing? And Mordechai, the biggest tzaddik of them all, he gets into trouble and he wants to kill him because... And we don't see what's going on. At the end, right at the end of the Megillah, we see how everything fits into place. And we understand everything was absolutely perfect. Everything was put into place. The pieces were there exactly, working in sync in Tachlis. Says the Chassan Sefer, that's Peshat. V'ra'isa es achoyrai, you'll see me from behind. You'll recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu is post facto, after what's going on. Way, way after you see what's going on. Uponai lo yirol. But when you're sitting in front of me, you won't understand who I am. You'll not see me when you're standing right in front of me in a situation. At the end, you'll understand. That's Peshat. V'achoyrai lo yirol. You see me from behind, you recognize who I am, post fact. But you'll not see me upon I. When you stand in front of me, lo yiroi, you won't recognize who I am. The Alter Belzer Rebbe says, you know, when a person comes up to a person got ties against the Kodesh Baruch Hashem, why did you do to me this? Why did you do to me that? Hashem said, listen, do you want me to explain to you why? I'll explain to you why. Come upstairs, and I'll show you exactly why I did this to you. Because of this gogol, because of that gogol, because of that chet, because of that yisurin to help you with this. I'll explain to you exactly why. Only one problem. Le'irani odon l'chai. You can't see me come down on this world again. Therefore, don't have any tainas, don't have any complaints, and you can live longer. Or at least it'll just seem longer. But don't have any complaints. Don't have complaints. Tainas le'irol, you don't see. And therefore the Adonim, the foundation of the Mishkan, is based on a half. We don't know what's going on. We have no idea. That is why it's a half. Okay? Beautiful explanation. Why was it silver? Why wasn't it gold? What's the difference between silver and gold? Besides, obviously, the price.
Function.
Sorry?
Function.
The strength. Okay, gold is stronger. Gold is the most malleable item. As far as I can see, on a very, very basic, unchemical level, gold doesn't tarnish. Or tarnishes very, very little. Silver tarnishes.
Conducts energy a lot more
readily
than silver.
Gold does. Silver though, you know, if you leave your silver bechra in your closet in the cupboard, and you don't polish it for 2-3 years, it looks terrible. It looks absolutely horrendous. Do the same to a gold bracelet or a gold watch. It looks fine. So what's the difference between gold and silver? Gold does not need any work to keep it beautiful. Silver needs work. Adonim was understanding of those are the foundations of who we are. Those are the foundations of standing up. Now the idea behind that is, when you have a Jew, you can have two Jews, you can have two Adonim. One will be polished and one's not polished. One looks black and one's shiny and glittery and absolutely beautiful. What's the understanding? The appreciation of Adonim is that every single Jew, the foundations of a Jew is, if he polishes himself, he can become absolutely beautiful. If he doesn't, he can become terribly tarnished. The foundations of Olam Hazeh, the foundations of our place in this world is, you can have two Adonis standing right next to each other. Right next to each other, right, completely connected. And they look completely different. The only difference is, one has worked on himself and one hasn't. One looks beautiful and one looks terrible. And a terrible one, with a bit of polishing, can look beautiful. and a beautiful one over time without working himself can turn tarnished. That is the idea of the Adonim, that's the foundations. The half a shekel is appreciation as well. That without working on the other half, there will always a half. Whatever we do, whatever we could possibly do to improve ourselves, we're always a half. There's always the other half to us. There's the other half that however bad we are, we can turn better. We can turn good, that's the other half. And on the other hand, however good we are, chas v'chalila, we can turn terrible. That is the machza shekel and the adonim. And that's an adonim to the silver. Okay, I think the word is lot is emes, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Wherever we are in life, whatever position we're in, we always have to know there's another half to us. If we're terrible, okay, we can always get better. And if we're doing tremendously well, you should just know there ain't apotropos varois. There's no guarantee for the worst terrible, terrible things a person can end up doing. You know, you hear these rabbis, great rabbis, getting into scandals. Rachman al-Itzlan, you know what? It just proves to us what fight we have to have. These aren't people who are charlatans, they haven't been faking all their life. Unfortunately, you can have Yochanan Kohen Gadol who went 80 times into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Lifnai v'Lifnim, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You can't fake a Kodesh Baruch Hu. People didn't, who went to Melech HaChomim, weren't Sadiqim, they died in a Kodesh HaKadoshim. People who walked in the Kodesh HaKadoshim who were not holding, they died. He went 80 years in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and at the end, he became a Sadducee. He became an Apikoros. That is a Kodesh. However great you are, however beautiful and silver you are, if without work, you can turn tarnished, you can turn completely black. That is the idea. Of every side we have, there's another side to us. If you're down, you can go up. If you go up, you can go down. That is the idea of the Machzor Shekel, the Adonim, and why it's all. I'll tell you a couple of beautiful stories. Re'isa Yisachoyrai, Upon the Yerol. No, that's from a... I think that's what I thought, perhaps. Is that nice? Okay. There was a... In everyone's life, there are certain times when one turns around and one doesn't begin to appreciate how things worked out so fantastically well then. Now, but at the time being, it looks so bad. There was one boy who was born to a very, very secular family in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, it's a very secular kibbutz. And this boy, I hope I got all the details correct, but this is the gist of the story, certainly at this. And he got born with a very disformed ear. He had one normal-looking ear, and one terribly disfigured ear. And this boy was terribly, terribly self-conscious. He grew up, and kids do what they do. You know, they're very cruel, and they taunted him, and they made fun of him. And he had a very difficult time in school. Kids are the fat kid, you know, you always make fun of the fat kid, you make fun of the skinny kid. And that's what kids do. They're very, very cruel. They're brutal. Brutal. Anyway, this kid was going through his parents, and he ended up somehow or another driving through Bnei Brak. And suddenly, an idea struck him. What a brilliant idea. He saw these people walking around with long peis. He thought to himself, wow, brilliant. If I grew peis over my ear, like these people, then nobody will see it, you know. So he decided he's going to start growing pears. Now he got this little kibbutz kid. Yeah, he's wearing this Batman T-shirt, and with his sandalim, with his sandals there, and he started growing pears. Had a couple, right? And he's going to school. So the kids are now he's got a disfigured ear and he's growing pears, right? This is really fantastic. Baruch Hashem, what a lucky kid, right? So now so he looks around. And he said, "One second, this is funny. To walk around with payers without a couple, these people wore couples. You know what, I'll put a couple on." So he started putting a couple, he put a couple on. Now he's walking around with couple and payers in a secular school. So now he's a frum kid with disfigured ears, you can't see them that much, but it's payers and couple and in a secular school. You know, and he can't do this, right? So how long can this carry on for? So he left, he told his parents not going back to school. Parents said, "You have to go to school." So they found him a frum school to go to. Found him a frum school to go to. This child, nobody ever realized he had disfigured ears. He wore his pears because never remembered him from the old days. He had this couple on. He had wonderful friends. He had wonderful chinuch. He loved it. Absolutely loved going to school. He changed his clothes a little bit. And he became a proper frum kid. He comes back home. And he looks at his parents and says, "You know, I can't really eat in your house. And I can't really go with you to the beach on Shabbos." So the parents said, "Listen, this kid has such a hard upbringing. You know, he had such a hard time. He got so, you know, he needs extra love, extra care, attention. You know what? We'll give him to him a couple of times. So he started eating kosher a couple of times, started keeping Shabbos a couple of times. And you know what? They enjoyed it. And the family, the entire family, and the extended family became frum because of this kid's misfigured ear. Now, isn't that unbelievable? You know, it's time being a terrible thing, a parent see a child's ear. How terrible, how sad. And the whole family became frum. It's an unbelievable story. Yeah? Because of the child's twisted ear. There's one child. This is a story. This is somebody here in a Kiryah. In the Kiryah Charedit in Bet Shemesh. I don't want to say a name because I don't think it's such a terrible thing. But he lives here in the Kiryah Charedit. And I heard the story from him himself. This happened with his great-great-great-great grandfather and aunt. Okay, aunt. They lived in, I'm not sure if it was Germany or Austria, one of these places, and as a little child, he burnt his hand. He burnt his hand very, very badly. And because of that, he needed a skin graft. So he took skin off his back and put it on his hand. And it's fine. Now he has a skin graft. Years later, have you heard this story before? No? You heard the story? Years later, this boy was caught, his girl was caught by the Nazis. And and this child, and this boy, is a teenager, a young teenage boy, was furious that the Nazis dared take his sister and round her up. So he came to Nazi headquarters and started screaming and yelling. So I want my sister back. What kind of thing is this? How dare you take my sister? So this Nazi commander, this ice, stone cold, statuesque, ice cold guy, says, yes, and what's your problem, young man? He said, this took my sister. He said, do you think you're going to leave your sister? We've got your sister, right? We're going to take you as well. He said, thank you very much for coming in. He said, nope, no way, you have to let us go. He said, listen, if you have hair growing in the palm of your hand, I'll let you go. If not, not. The boy said, yeah, you promise me? He said, absolutely promise. The boy opened his hand, and there was hair growing on the palm of his hand. From that skin graft. Okay, that skin graft gave off hair, and it had hair growing in the palm of his hand. That boy and his sister were released, and they made it through the war, and the great-great-grandchild over here is one of the head one of the Moises here in Beit Shemesh. Okay? Or Panalo Yerol, you have no idea. You have no idea. Beforehand you don't see it. Bachoirai, you see behind what's going on. And that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The foundations of the world is understanding we know nothing. We've seen only half a picture. Tzadikim, terrible Yisurim, Rishoim, wonderful time. We've seen nothing. It's only half a picture. Noitzer Chesed La'alofim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that any might you do, although you don't see it now, the other half of the picture is, I promise you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the end of the parasha, says, Noitzer Chesed La'alofim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants Chesed for generations. What's Noitzer Chesed La'alofim, says Shamshon Fol Hish? Noitzer is the Lashon Noitzer is a lotion of planting. In other words, it's something that guards itself. It produces Paris generations later. And that is what we do know. We don't know half the picture of what terrible things happen, but we do know a good action never gets lost. The fantastic story, Repetha Krohn says over, that there was a family, I haven't got details here, I left my notes upstairs, there was a family in a certain place in Germany that had 11 children, and that family had 8 sons, and the 8 sons all learnt in a place called Yisoida HaTorah, in that particular place, and they looked after a man called Rav Katz. He was one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva, and he was an old man, never got married, he was an elderly man, and the family all used to make sure that for Yom Tov and for Purim and for Pesach, he was invited, they brought him over food. They were very, very, very good to him. Several years later, that particular area got taken over by Czechoslovakia. It turned into Czechoslovakia. And in the time being, Rav Katz died, etc., etc. Many, many years later, 1944, which is about 25 years after he died, the Nazis, Rachman al-Islam, invaded. And one of the grandchildren of this family was hiding in a house when the Nazis came in, and him and his wife, and the Nazis came in and they stormed in, and the Nazis turned around for a second, and him and his wife ran down the stairs and managed to evade the Nazi. The question was where to go. Do you turn right or do you turn left? Do you turn right or do you turn left? He said, turn right, turn left. All listen to your wife. Followed his wife, and they ran away, and they found a bunker that a non-Jewish woman, Mama Nia, her name was. She was a woman who actually looked after, I think, 2,000 Jews during the war, and kept them there for months and months and months, until the place was evacuated, until the Russians came and evacuated Czechoslovakia. And she saved them, looked after them, she fed them, and they survived the war. And only later did they realize that the house that she was hiding them in was the house of Rav Katz. That all those years beforehand, they had looked after him, Shlach lachmo chalamayim, cast your bread upon the waters, will come back to you. That's Neisaches la'lofim. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sows seeds for generations. We see nothing, we know nothing, we don't understand anything. What we do understand is, number one, our actions that are good create good actions, create good results, Neisaches la'lofim, and Rahman al-Islam, our actions also can create Rahman al-Islam terrible results. However bad we are, and however good we are, there's always another side. There's always the fight to keep going, to improve ourselves, to polish ourselves, to make sure we don't get tarnished. If we are tarnished, to pull ourselves up. To know, and to really, really get clear, that the foundations of this world is all the understanding that we know nothing. And the Shalmi says, Klal Yisrael, B'glal shechotah ha'egel, b'chatzi ha'yoyim, l'chein, Nitztavu bnei Yisrael losses machzus hashekel. Because the Klal Yisrael, it says, Kiboshesh Moshe. What's Kiboshesh Moshe? Kiboshesh. It came 6 hours. It was a 6 hour, Moshe Ben hadn't come down yet. So because of that, Klal Yisrael went and brought the eagle. Right? What's the idea behind that? Explains Chazal. Why didn't he wait a little bit longer? 6 hours, maybe 7 hours, 8 hours, no. Come to conclusion. We know half the picture, we know exactly what happened now. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. You've got the wrong picture. Don't jump to conclusion, only have a picture. And therefore, for the chet that they jumped to conclusion and they thought they know the whole picture by the egel, kiboshesh Moshe, 6 hours or halfway through the day, the kapara was bringing machzus shekel, that ultimately we know nothing. We don't understand what's going on. All we know is that tzadik be'emunoso yichye. We know the world creates on tzidkus. The adonim were two. For two yisoidus. Adonim had two little pegs at the bottom. Adonim were the two pegs. One is emunah, of Anoich Hashem Lekecho, that ultimately Hashem is everything, and the other one is Ayir Lecho Lekim Achim Aponai. The other one is understanding and knowing that there's nothing besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We may not see it now, we'll eventually, for sure, will see it. Kodesh Baruch Hu should always allow us to see, give us the clarity, to have a little bit of patience, and not to jump to conclusions, and to be able to polish ourselves to become beautiful, shining Jews.
What is the question?